I'm giving two shiurim on this maimer, a short shiur and a long shiur, or an easy shiur and a hard shiur. The easy shiur is tonight, the complicated shiur mitzvah will be Sunday. This is a maimer. It's very, very intense. It's really very intense. And you have to sort of finish the whole maimer to begin to say, oh. And there's two parts to the maimer. It's what they call in the Hasidic culture, the biur and the drush. The maimer itself, which is about a malik, and the biur, the philosophy that sets up the husband. Now, let's first of all reveal what's unusual about this maimer. This is an amalek maimer. How many maimer of amalek are there in Hasidus? Let's say 50 maimer of amalek. I don't think that's an exaggeration. There's a lot of maimer of amalek, and there's a lot of repetition. There's nothing uncommon about that in Hasidus. But there's not only repetition, there's a lot of creativity. In other words, you think the maimer starts the same way and talks about the same shulk of the same thing, he's going to say the same thing, but he doesn't. This is actually an unusual, it's an atypical amalek maimer, and I'll tell you why. What's the classic Hasidic commentary on amalek? The classic Hasidic commentary on amalek is, you cannot reason with amalek. You can't deal with them. Why does the pasuk say, Reishis goy amalek v'achis yadavid? There's nobody to talk to. Because amalek is, the lashon is, malka b'litaga. He's a king without a crown. He's chutzpah with no leg to stand on. You know, if a person is intelligent, and his intelligence leads him to apokursis. Apokursis is a bad thing, but intelligence is a good thing. He's standing on a leg. If a person is musical, and because of his music he's involved in some other thing which you're not supposed to be involved with. But if a person has nothing redeeming, there's nothing good about him. He's not artistic, he's not musical, he's not intelligent, and he's not kind, and he's not sensitive. But he's just arrogant and a bully. And his entire presence, I guess a psychologist would say it this way, is to cover over his lack of mileage. How do they cover over lack of mileage? With this ego, with this arrogance, with this condescension. When a person has nothing admirable, has no positive attributes, there's nothing about the person that's durable. Nothing good. There's an A-mile. And he's a chutzpahnik. How are you going to deal with him? What are you going to speak about? You can't talk about kindness, doesn't know what it is. You can't talk about intelligence, unintelligent. You can't talk about anything except chutzpah. Taylor says, when you have a chutzpahnik, you have somebody who is arrogant and aggressive, insulting, evil, and he doesn't have any milas, you have to just kill him. Figuratively, if not literally. You can't deal with somebody who has no milas. That's amalek. Amalek is a chutzpahnik. And I want to remind us, Amalek is one of our cousins. Amalek is Ben Eliphaz. And what's strange about it is that it says in Sfarim that Eliphaz was a Navi. You know that? In Sefer Iyev. The Sefer Iyev has five personalities. One of them is Eliphaz. And this day in the Gemara that says Eliphaz, this is Eliphaz Ben Esav. He was a tzaddik, claimished. That's why he didn't Le'yankovino. But Le'idach, his house was a house full of Mamzerim. And Amalek was from the Mamzerim in his home. Mamzerim are known to be chutzpahdik, and Amalek took it to an extreme. It was a pashat, nothing good about him, and he's very proud of himself, and he's constantly looking to discredit others. He cannot tolerate that somebody else has something good. He has to break it. How do you break something good with something better? No, he breaks something good with chutzpah. Taylor says, so the classic Hasidic discourse on Amalek is, number one, you can't deal with Amalek, you have to destroy him. And number two, it has to be done by Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was it that Moshe had to be involved in the Mechamas Amalek? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Bechar lonu hanoshim v'tzei elach Amalek. And Rashi says, Anshe Moshe, Shechel levatel kshofim, and so forth. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to be involved in killing Amalek? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is Chochmah. What's Chochmah? Chochmah is the same thing as Amalek in the Ktzei Hashem, in the antithetical extreme. Moshe Rabbeinu is bittel to the Eibishter l'mayla menasech. And to deal with a chutzpahnik, you need to have a relationship with the Eibishter which is as irrational in Gedusha as Amalek is irrational in chutzpah. So in other words, if Yeshua would deal with Amalek, he wouldn't be able to kill him. Because Amalek is malka b'leitaga, he's just evil. And it's difficult for a normal person to relate, to appreciate how evil is, and to destroy it without engaging with it. Yeshua was not negotiating with Amalek. The moment he's negotiating with Amalek, you lose, because there's nobody home. There's nobody to talk to. Moshe Rabbeinu, because his relationship with Abish is a bittle, Shalman, Matamadas, Moshe can kill Amalek, because Moshe's connection to Hashem is such that he l'chatchila appreciates that you can't get involved in the discussions with Amalek. Okay, for what reason? Because they were not involved in what? That's because of Esav. Binyamin was not alive when Yaakov bowed down to Esav, so Bamele was able to defeat him. He didn't have that element of weakness. But that's not Amalek. It's Amalek, it's Amalek, it's Esav. But okay, point well taken. So the typical Amalek maimon says Amalek is unreasonable, and you deal with Amalek beyond reason. That's the typical maimon. This is a very different maimon. This maimon uses the words pnimius and chitzenius, and really explains Pnimius and Chitzenius. And explains Pnimius and Chitzenius with such an intensity, with such a concentration, that, I spent 2 hours, I sat learning the Maimon. How many times did I start learning the Maimon? I say 5 or 6. But you have to sit from the beginning to the end, almost like in one sitting, to hang in there. Because the sugya of Pnimius and Chitzenius, which starts in Siv Beis, really, and it goes all the way till Sif Zion. If you stop in the middle, when you start again, it's so intense, you gotta get into it and stay there. What's such Pnimius and Chitzenius? The first thing about Pnimius and Chitzenius is, listen carefully, is that Pnimius is not in your neshama. It's dafke in your guf. Pnimius is, in the lashon of the maimon, not in your rotzen. It's dafka when it comes down to your moichin, and dafka comes down to your midas. Dafka comes down to your chokhmah, dafka comes down to your bina, and it comes to midas. In other words, we do not identify pnimius because somebody is deeply in touch with his neshama. No. We identify pnimius by somebody whose intent, who's in tunis, in touchness, if you will, with his neshama, is drawn down into the person. The personality of the human being, which is the mind and the heart, are fully inspired with the will, with the rotzen, with the makif, with the neshama, as the neshama is by itself. That is a fully engaged Jew. This is called pnimius. Now, I intend, b'li neder, of course, to talk about pnimius on Sunday, but you should know that this sugya of pnimius is what's called in other maimorim, meichen umidus de gadlus. God bless Amechamidus. It's a very, very special sugya. And like I said, in Mitzvah Shem on Sunday, at the Abish Telfon, we're going to explore this. But it's a very, very special kind of a concept that the Rebbe talks about here in this Maimon. And this Maimon says that a Jew who is in a pnimiistic state, Amalek can't touch. Even though pnimius means dafke moyach and lev, even though in this Maimon, what does pnimius mean? Pnimius doesn't mean lemayla min haseichel. Pnimius doesn't mean the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's lamailam and aseichel, can defeat Amalek who has hepech aseichel. Pnimius means to the contrary. If my godly sense is in my neshama, and it doesn't come down into my guf, Amalek can attack me. It's exactly the opposite. Dafke, because I have found the form, the mesila, the channel, the path, the pipe through which I'm able to bring down all of my neshama the way it was in Ratz, that all of my neshama should be in Chochma, all of my neshama should be in Bina, and all of my neshama should be in Midas, Amalek cannot touch me. A fully engaged Jew, a fully intellectually in tune and emotionally inspired Jew, Amalek cannot touch. Kum tois, that chutzpah has limits. And that's a chiddush. Like I said, this is not the typical Amalek maimon, it's a bit atypical. No. Someone who's chutzpah, you have to understand, he doesn't have anything, but he has nothing to lose. When you have that combination, you have nothing to lose, you fight with reckless abandon. How do you deal with somebody who doesn't even know why they're fighting? They're fighting for the sake of, he can't. So you need Moshe, because Moshe is connected to the Eibishter. It doesn't know why he's connected to the Eibishter. But this might be saying something different. If your Moyach and Lev bring forward the pnimius of your neshama, but if pnimius Amalek cannot touch. Chach afilu. Pnimius over here means dafke seichel amidus. Pnimius doesn't mean Kabbalah Seilem Bittel. Pnimius means your mind and heart are fully inspired with the Oyer of Ratzon. If you are engaged in your Avedas Hashem with total Pnimius, Amalek cannot touch you. Because as chutzpahdik as Amalek is, if you are so whole, so deeply complete in your connection to Eivishter, you pashut don't hear the chutzpah. That's what it says in this maimon. And like I said to you, l'chay, this is a little bit different than what it says in most maimonim. So when a yid is in a state of pnimius, Amalek cannot touch you. When can Amalek touch you? When you're in a state of chitzonius. What's meant chitzonius? I have a will to serve the Eivishter, I have a wisdom to serve the Eivishter, I have an understanding to the Eivishter, even have feelings. But it's chitzoniistic, it's bumpy. It's with a bunch of stops and starts. I'm not completely there. I'm trying. I'm trying not just to serve Hashem practically. I'm even trying to serve Hashem mind and my heart. But it's not so wholesome. It's not so filling. This is what Amalek can get you. And the Maimon says, this is the Pshat. Zohar Ashosalacha Amalek. Baderech Betzeischem Mitzrayim. And he brings the Pasuk in Tanakh, Ba'alei Semeyeretz Mitzrayim also. And he asks the obvious question, what does the story of Amalek and Mechias Amalek have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? And the answer that the Maimon gives, because when you leave Mitzrayim, it's Mechines Nechasholem Acharecha. You're serving the Eivish anyway of Acharayim. Acharayim doesn't mean nothing. Acharayim simply means not Pnimius. Chitzonius, you are using your will, you are using your chokhmah, you are using your bina, you are using your midas. But that complete saturation, if you will, which is represented by the concept of pnimius you're lacking, this is where Amalek gets you. And the Maimon explains it with anias and ashiris. When a person is spiritually rich, Amalek can't touch him. When a person is spiritually poor, Amalek can attack. And that's the connection. When Yidden left Mitzrayim, you would think when Yidden left Mitzrayim, they went from a state of Golos to a state of Geula. They're in a state of richness. As a matter, that's not how it goes. Yidden left Mitzrayim, so they're no longer prisoners. They're no longer in Golos. But when you go out of Golos, you come out of Golos oni, impoverished. And you have to work your way towards Ashiris, towards wealth. Of course, we mean this spiritually. And in the interim, in the Beina Labeina, when you leave Mitzrayim, and when you're in a state of oini, and you haven't yet come into the state of Hashiras, this is where Amalek can attack you. So the Acharecha, Amalek attacks Yidden when you're in a state of Acharayim. And when you're in a state of Mitzrayim, Acharayim, after you go out of Golos, you're a free person. But not because you became free did you become a tzaddik. Because you became free, you have the possibility of becoming a tzaddik. When you are in that period, which the Rebbe calls the 40 years between leaving Mitzrayim until they come into Eretz Yisrael, which is called in this moment, Eretz Zavas Cholof, Udvash, which is the Tainin Chochma Bina, and Eretz Tevar Chava, which is the Kelim, as the Maimon explains. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, Amalek cannot touch you. When you're leaving Mitzrayim and you're on your way to Eretz Yisrael because of the condition of Acharayim and Chitzenius, Amalek is able to attack you. That's what says in the Maimon. This answers the basic question of the Maimon. Why do we always leave Bechias Amalek to Yetzias Mitzrayim? But I want to add something which doesn't say in the Maimon. I want to tell you a word. My vart is, and I believe that this is pshat in the Maimon Chotcha Filei Shteitnish. Amalek can attack you when you leave Mitzrayim. He cannot attack you when you come to Eretz Yisrael, right? And you know what else? He can't attack you in Mitzrayim either. And here's why. Mitzrayim is Golos. How does a Jew survive in Golos? What does the Maimon say? Emunah, period. Right? The Maimon says that. The Yidden in Mitzrayim, all they had was Emunah, they couldn't understand anything. Moreover, Moshe starts to talk to them, so the Torah says, V'lo yishamu al Moshe. They couldn't listen. What's meant V'lo yishamu al Moshe? The moment Moshe says, let's learn something, let's think about something, let's feel something, there's nobody home. And by the way the Maimon of course goes is that the Emunah is the lack of Oyrois, and the V'lo yishamu al Moshe is the lack of Kelim. As they state the Maimon, I'm suggesting to you that a Yid in Mitzrayim, since he has no Oiris, he has only a Munah, and since he has no Kelim, and he can't understand anything, as the Maimon puts it, even when you give it to him, Amalek can't touch such a Jew. Why? Because when a Jew is in a crushed state of Bittul, where all he has is a Munah Pshut, and all, like it says in the Torah of Ayame, the Jewish people believed. Meshach said, who said, Vehim Layaminu, and the Torah says, Vayame, they did believe. and all he can do is what you tell him. He doesn't understand it. Amalek can't touch that either. Why? Because there's nothing fancy about you. What can Amalek make fun of if you make fun of yourself? How can Amalek be chutzpedik to a person who's only a munna? You're an idiot, he says, you're right. You're a fool, he says, you're right. You believe something you don't understand, he says, you're right. But I believe it. In other words, it's baderech. It's the in-between. You leave Mitzrayim. What happened? You leave Mitzrayim. You're supposed to get out of bed. You're not saying Meidani anymore. Use your mind and your heart. Bring your Ratzin into your Chochmah, into your Bina, into your Midas. That's where Amalek attacks. For us, you're getting fancy. Now Amalek has what to pick on. Amalek is going to come along with his Asher Korcha, with his box of ice. And who are you to understand the Lakus? Who are you to feel the Lakus? What's the Prostar Yat? Acherayim. Chitzoinius. And I think this is the Derehed. Asher Asa L'cho Amalek Baderech B'tzeichem. In Mitzrayim he can't touch you, because in Mitzrayim you agree with him. I'm taking nothing. But you have a Emunah Pshuta, Hamolik, with all of his chutzmah, cannot fight an Emunah Pshuta, because it's so bottom. And in this mindset, Amalek is not able to fight either with Godless, with Pnimius, because when a person achieves a state of Pnimius and Godless, in other words, when the Moyach and the Leif are completely inspired, Amalek cannot touch you. He gets you Baderech, in between. And that's the story of Amalek. Amalek attacks you when you're no longer here, when you haven't yet come here. And you know what it reminded me of? It says in Shara Yichud Emunah, in Dagdoma, Shara Yichud Emunah has an introduction. Shara Yichud Emunah is very, very philosophical. But the introduction to Shara Yichud Emunah is very, very practical. Very avoided dick. The introduction to Shara Yichud Emunah is called Chinuch Katan. It's a miniature version of Chinuch. What is the day in that Maimir? This is how I am explaining it at the moment. If you have two choices, to play it safe in Avodas Hashem, or take a risk in Avodas Hashem. But if the risk pays off, you'll get a higher return. Should you play it safe or take a risk? We're not talking about the stock market now, okay? If a person has a choice to play it safe in Avodas Hashem, or to take a risk in Avodas Hashem, should they take the risk or should they play it safe? And I'll explain to you the terms. A person is a frumidid, learns Torah and does mitzvahs, but never opens up the arena of his relationship with the Eibushter. What's called in the Tanya, Hanestaras Hashem Elokein. Am I connected to God, or am I just doing what everybody else does? Am I connected to God, or I'm learning Torah as Chochmah? The moment you cross over from simply learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, to want a relationship with Eibushter, you're going from the realm of Chitzonius to the realm of Pnimius. Now what happens when you open up that door? You find a lot of schmutz. You find a lot of chesreinus. You find gaive. You find midas rois. You find tzveikis and emunah. All kinds of stuff, yeah? Keep it closed. Serve the Eibushter also poshterid, you have no trouble. So the Rebbe says, no, no, no. Take the risk. And what's going to happen when you take the risk? Sheva yipel tzadik will come. I tell you now, you're going to have failures. Do it anyway, because of the return. In other words, you could stay in Golos. What's a Golos yid? Emunah pshuta. Like Shamo Meisha. Meisha starts explaining things they don't understand. He can do a mitzvah. He can have a munah. Don't bother me. So Dr. Rebbe, no. Go out of Mitzrayim. And when you go out of Mitzrayim, you're in a maimed matzav of oni. When a person begins the search within himself for whether he has a relationship with Eibushter, he doesn't have any relationship. And Amalek is coming along, oh, you're a chassid. I know who you are. And the Torah says, Al-Tareba says, no, take that risk. And Al-Tareba gives many, many reasons, but then a kudachi ikris is because the gam ki yaskin la yosem imena, the chinuch got as a child, is going to keep you in your most vulnerable moments. In other words, when you go going out of Mitzrayim, and you have not yet come, El Eretz Chetei Verchova, Eretz Zavet Chovav Hashem, Amalek attacks you. How are you going to survive? You're going to remember the Emunah that you had in Mitzrayim. And that's the Toichen of this Maimir. Amalek gets you in the transition. Right? You have a business. Everything's good. And you're making $250,000 a year. And you say to yourself, I have an opportunity to expand my business by opening up more branches. But if I go from being one branch to more than one branch, I can't open one more, I have to open two more. or three more, which means I have to borrow a lot of money from the banks and have to pray that the banks are not going to run out of love for me tomorrow and stop lending me money when I need it in the future. And I'm taking my entire business and throwing it up to risk. If I succeed, in 3 years from now, we're making $2.5 million a year instead of a quarter. But if I lose, I lose everything. You're taking a risk. What happens when you take a risk? You take a plunge. A businessman who takes risks cannot sit every day and see, ooh, am I profiting it? He'll drive himself categorically insane. He calculated the risk. He didn't stop as I do it really recklessly. He thought it over. He looked at the market. He looked at the financial climate. He looked at his service that he provides and people's needing it and so forth and so on. He has his various different indicators. And he decided this is an educated risk. And he gets the banks on board. They're going to give him loans. And they're going to trust him if he'll need subsequent loans for whatever, for 6 months or for a year, for 18 months, whatever arrangements. You know, I know people told me banks promised, businessmen promised to give them loans to help them carry businesses over. And they changed their mind. And pressure to ruin them. And this is the climate today, which is very risky. But you make an educated assessment and you take a risk. When you get, when you succeed, oh, what an incredible effort. But when you go away from the stability you have, and you don't yet arrive at the stability you're going to have, that's called baderech. And this is where Amalek is an expert. He's a nudge first class. He knows how to make you feel so inadequate, so unworthwhile, so stupid. You're trying to be a guy. I said, Pnimi, I know you. I was with you in Mitzrayim. And that's what Zohar Ashloch Amalek Baderech. You left Mitzrayim. Your vision, your intent is Ala Eschem Oni Mitzrayim. El Eretz Teva Rechove Eretz Zovet Cholov Advash. Where Haman Amalek cannot touch you again because you'll be in a Maimed Matzav Pnimius. This is where he gets you. And the Maimed explains, as you guys all know, in Sif. Ches, very interesting. The Rebbe spells it out. He says, why do you have to kill Amalek? Right? And of course the answer is you can't negotiate with Amalek. You can't talk to Amalek. So he gives you, he talks you through the psychology of an Aveiro and the psychology of a Baal Tshuva, Pedichas. The Maimed is so well developed. It's based on a Maimed by Stoyson Ayin Zion. I would bet that it's pretty close to the same Maimed. I didn't look up the Ayin Gimel, it says here. Ela ba'osar Ayin Gimel. Immediately you date that Maimed doesn't finish. It's an incomplete Maimed. Ayin Gimel. No, I'm thinking of Ayin Zion. I suspect that if you look at the Rebbe Rashi's Maimed, it's almost word for word. Rebbe Pashat Chazer the Maimed. This is my suspicion. It looks like a Maimed from the Rebbe Nishmasei. But I could be wrong. He talks you through the pathology of Ruach Shtus. What's Ruach Shtus? Ruach Shtus means I lose my head. And because I lose my head, I do self-destructive things. What's the first stage of Ruach Shtus? The first stage of Ruach Shtus is, as any drunk will tell you, I'm not drunk. I just had a few drinks. I'm still good. I'm beseder. The first madreig of Ruach Shtus is that he says it's not so bad. Right? What's the second stage of Ruach Shtus? That means, at first you do small discrepancies, small avedas, and you start to enjoy them. And of course they desensitize you, they make you dull, and you lower yourself, and you lower yourself, and you lower yourself, and you lower yourself, until you reach a point where you push it crazy. Crazy means you're wantonly destroying yourself. And you're so out of your mind, you're no longer giving excuses. You're not even saying anymore, identity. You're no longer saying, I'm still a good Jew. You're not saying anything. It's like an addict. You're just crazy. So there are two madregas in Ruach Shtus. The first madrega in Ruach Shtus is that you convince yourself that you're still beseder. The second madrega in Ruach Shtus is that you push it, lost your marbles. Alter Rebbe says, even a Jew who has so deeply immersed himself in Avedis, that not only is he not saying, Odena Biyadus, but he's achieved a state of shigaon. He's poshet meturif. You can talk to such a person. Why? He has a neshama. And because of a neshama, and the emes, he doesn't want to do an aved. No, but then you have to help him see himself. Right? They call it in the world of substance abuse, intervention. You know what intervention means? When a person loses his mind, and people lose their minds in many ways, the only person who's not aware that they've lost their mind is the person who's lost their mind. Everybody else sees it. They're out of control, gambling, rahman al-san, out of control with alcoholics and other things. So what you do is you put the person in a position where you don't give him any wiggle room, because that's what addicts do. They lie, they wiggle. He comes home from work one day and there's 10 people waiting for him. 10 people who love him, who care about him. And they surround him and they say, no more lies. They force him to wake up, to snap out. Yeah? I'm giving you psychology, yeah? But this is what happens. You Ruach Shtus has made you lost your mind, but he cares underneath it all. You can talk to him. What's the Nimshel? The seven nations of Canaan can be transformed. Epech al Amim. It's interesting, he brings it. Goy, Mashiach, Koyim, Goyim are transformed into servants of the Eibishter. Why? Because they're not inherently evil. There's evil about them, there's insanity about them, there's shtus about them, but there's good. And you have to confront the evil, and you can spin them and get them to become good. Amalek, you cannot talk to. Why not? Amalek knows better than you. You're going to tell me about God? I read every Maimed on the Ibsha. I know all about him. And he's a deyes libeine, umechavin. We're going to intervene with Amalek and Amalek and say, Hezekiah, you're out of your mind. You should really start thinking about the Eibishter. He says, I think about the Eibishter all the time. I've dedicated every waking moment of my life to discredit him. So when Amalek, you can't come to Amalek and say, Ruach Shtus, because Amalek says, I'm very proud of it. Adas binich, my identity is Yedeyas Rebbeinu Mechavan Limit Bey, B'meili of Nobreda. And he uses the face of the classic atheist. Chutzpah B'leitaga, what is he? Chutzpah B'leitam. Amalek has to be destroyed. Finished. There's nothing you do with Amalek. Okay? But you have to understand that Amalek's position is baderech. When you come to Eretz Tevor Chavah, to Eretz Zavah Chavah, the Rosh Amalek cannot touch you. And I am proposing baderech efshef hashteitzach, that in Mitzrayim it can't touch you either. When a Yid serves the Eibishter with Vayamin Ha'am Emunah Alon, it can't touch you either. It's the baderech. When you decide you want to engage in a pneumistic relation with the Eibishter, which doesn't happen in a minute, doesn't happen in a year, that's where Amalek comes to you, and you have to fight Amalek.
Wasn't that those ones when they were already out of the Shemit?
They left Mitzrayim, but hadn't yet come to Eretz Yisrael.
So Az Yashar is said by when they already left Mitzrayim.
No.
So, the way you explained it as water in Mitzrayim.
As what?
You said that
Vayaminu Hashem is water. Not we're talking different psukim. Vayamin Ha'am is in Shmoyz, it's not even Vayera. It's the first time. Meisha Rabbeinu tells the Eibishter v'heim le'yaminu bi. So Hashem tells him to put his hand in, he becomes a metzeder for speaking in Lashon Hara. 20 psukim later, v'yamin ha'am, Rashi says. Meisha said, heim le'yaminu, look, they believed. And now we go to the very end of the Maimon, which is page Kuf Peichas. And this is what you're at the top of the page. He says this. You have a neshama, or what the Maimon calls a rotz. Your neshama, what the Maimer calls Ratz, in this Maimer, is only ideal when and if you bring it into your pnimius. You have a neshama. Neshama is very powerful, very potent. Your neshama is not fully engaged until it comes into your mind and in your heart. If and when your neshama comes into your mind and your heart, and you achieve a condition, which our Maimer calls pnimius, Eretz Teva Rechava, Eretz Zav Rechava Vash, full Kalim, full Eretz, Amalek cannot touch. If your neshama is only in your neshama, it's not Nimshach and Apnimis. This is called Yad HaGedayla. It's called Avaraba. That's what you asked me before. When you have a matzav, that you have a very powerful connection to the Eibishter, but that the powerful connection to the Eibishter has not filled your entire personality. Your personality is in a state of acherayim. Your personality is in a state of oini. Your personality is baderech b'tzeis chamim mitzrayim. Be'liyasam eretz mitzrayim. Amalek has a field day with you. Why? Because the pnimius has not yet been fully engaged, and you've gone out of the simple emunah that you had in Golos Mitzrayim. Amalek attacks. What's the answer? You need koyach of Meisha Rabbeinu to take that yod agadela, what the Maimon called avos avarabe, and kill Amalek. What does this mean? This means, Rabbi Yisai, what it says in most of the typical Amalek Maimorim. This is different than most Maimorim. But this prat is the classic idea that when you counter a molek, you can't reason with him. You have to kill him. And the toikif and the koyach you get to kill a molek is that you shouldn't be reasonable with yourself. In your relationship with the Eibish, the Yilam Adam Anasech. When you've gone out of Mitzrayim, but you're baderech, you're still in a state of oini, al eschem me oni Mitzrayim. And then there's bazundin, el letters of chol v'dvash. It's going to take 40 years to come to a state of ashirus. You need to employ your neshama to fight with Amalek, and when you employ your neshama to fight with Amalek, first of all, Maimon says, yekel koyach v'meisha rabbeinu. And moreover, you're going to fight with Amalek not by being reasonable, because you can't be reasonable. Your reason is in a state of chitanius. You're going to fight with Amalek with sheer will, which is, like I said to you, the typical concept of Amalek. You read it rather by Mari Chassidus. Amalek is unreasonable. You kill him with super rationale. That's what this Maimon finishes with. So Ahava Rabba over here, Menachem Mendel, this is what you asked me earlier, means that I have a connection to my neshama, but it's not integrated. It's not premius, because if it was integrated, Amalek would never be able to touch me. I have to use the Ahava Rabba in its makif state to fight with Amalek, which means I can't be reasonable. I can't be rational in my relation with Amalek. I have to fight with Amalek, who's attacking my weakness with will, with Mesidus Nefesh. And he connects it to the famous Chazal, Rashi brings it in Chumash, that the Chazal tell us that Kiyad al Kais Ko Mochem Asavayim Amalek, the Eibish just swears. The Ein Akise Shalom, Kais is missing the Aleph. The Ein Hashem Shalom, Yudke is missing Vavke, Achi Mochas Abishalom Amalek, until Amalek is erased. Feyder Abakash, I don't understand. What's the connection? What's the connection? What's up with Kisei Yaakovid and what's Shem Avaya? So of course the Kabbalah goes like this. Kisei is Malchus. Havaya is Zoh. Kisei is Kalim. Havaya is Eiris. And he gives a couple of more models for the same. The bottom line is Kisei and Havaya represent Hishtalshalos, Atzilos. What does Kisei and Havaya mean in the context of this Maimon? Kisei and Havaya in the context of this Maimon means Pnimiyah. If I integrate, if I bring down my Neshama into my Chochmah, into my Bina, into my Midas, in what our Maimon calls a fully Pnimiyah condition, Amalek cannot start touch me. But Eina Kisei Shalom, the Eina Shem Shalom, Achi Mochazar Shalom. What does that mean? I cannot come to Erev Zavos Cholov Advash because Amalek is in my way. I left Mitzrayim, I'm Baderech. I want to come to Erev Zavos Cholov Advash, Erev Tevar Rechava, and Amalek doesn't let. The Eibish just swears, I will never get there. In other words, my goal is Pnimius. If I get to the goal of Pnimius, I can laugh at Amalek. But because I'm Baderech, I'll never get to that goal, which is Kisei Shalom and Shem Shalom. In other words, Kelim Bishleimus, Eides Bishleimus, Midas Bishleimus, Meichen Bishleimus, Midas Bishleimus, Bina Bishleimus, Chochma Bishleimus, Amalek is not going to let me. And because I am Baderech, and Amalek is not going to let me, the Eibish just says, I swear, you will not get the Pnimius unless you kill Amalek now. You cannot say, you know what, I'll make believe Amalek isn't there, and I'll engage in avoid the Pnimius until I achieve a state of Pnimius and Amalek cannot touch me. The Eibish just swears, you'll never get there. You left Mitzrayim. That's the deal. We left, that's to take it away from you. We left Mitzrayim. We haven't yet come of Erev Zavos Cholvos, Erev Tevar Chava, so as to wissen, Hashem is not saying, I swear that I'm going to suffer with you, which is the Pshat Pshat. Hashem swears you cannot get to the promised land unless you stop on your way and kill Amalek. He'll not let you. You will never achieve Kisei Shalom. You will never achieve Shmoy Shalom. In other words, you'll never achieve the Pnimius that you know will protect you from Amalek, because Amalek won't let it happen. Stop what you're doing and kill Amalek. So if a person, in other words, think about it from the language of the Tanya, a person's in a safe place. He serves Hashem with a munah pshuta. And then he attempts to engage in an astadus lavaya lekeinu. He wants to have a more meaningful relationship with the Eibishter. He wants to engage his mind, his heart, his soul. He wants to probe. Amalek shows up. Who are you to become a big chassid? So the Maimon says, I swear to you, you'll never become a big chassid unless you first kill Amalek. And you don't kill Amalek with lumdus. You don't kill Amalek with the pnimius which you're going to get tomorrow. He's never going to let you get to tomorrow. Kill him in the old-fashioned way. Ava Rabba, Lamaila Menaseichel, and when you manage to kill your own personal Moloch, then you can journey to Ezeva Chavah, Ezeva Chavah. So we explained several connections. Number one, why we connect Amalek to Baderech Batechem in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, you don't deal with Amalek, and in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to deal with Amalek. Number two, we explain why Dafka Meshe Rabbein has to want to kill Amalek because it's Lamaila Menaseichel. Number three, we explain why there is a link between Kisei Shalom and Shmai Shalom and Amalek. Because Amalek is not going to let that you be a Kisei Shalom. Hashem Shalom, you're going to have to kill him first. Questions or comments? With Akshonis. With Akshonis. Mamish, with Akshonis. I suppose with stupidity. When it comes to Amalek, it can be reasonable. We're from Yidden, yeah? But we also want to look normal. At what expense? Killing Amalek means you can't afford to look normal. You got to kill Amalek. In other words, times for certain Yanam Yiddishkeit, you just can't care. You can't always worry about Mal'igim and fitting in and being normal. Sometimes you have to be irrational, because otherwise Amalek will destroy you.